as Warren G. once asked, what's next? What's next? And this is the Fat Man Chronicles. Welcome to episode 33 of the Fat Man Chronicles. Still no music.
Still no music.
We're going to get there, though.
Uh-huh. You keep saying that.
Hey, I didn't promise a time frame. I'm Pete, and sitting alongside me, as always, is my beautiful wife, Gretchen. And we are a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. We've got the quote.
We have the quote.
And we have wine.
And we have wine.
So why don't you tell everybody what's in that bottle?
It is the Geologist. It's a 2012 premium red wine from Columbia Valley.
Which is where?
Washington.
All right. You were just there.
I know. Cabernet, 75%, and Petit Verdot, 25%.
Yeah. It's good wine.
I don't know. I haven't drank any of it yet.
Well, it comes from a little winery called Thurston Wolf, and he only makes about 100 cases of this stuff.
So why do we get it?
Well, at work, we bought like 90% of what he made.
Oh, that is good.
And are doing an email on it, which Mike and I collaborated on. He really wrote it, and then I added.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be tomorrow's big email.
And we get to drink it.
And we get to drink it because, you know, I got to make sure that we know the wine.
Exactly.
And it's pretty darn good.
It is very good. So I will probably have, based on my evening, I'll probably have two glasses tonight.
This is it's a $50 wine at the winery.
Well, then I definitely will probably have two glasses.
It's not $50 at work. So,
yeah.
But it's a special little treat.
It is very good.
Treat.
It's cool label too.
It is, for sure. Well, why don't you just go, I mean, you've had a rough time with, I assume work is what
work.
You're talking
yes.
about. So
yes,
have you
yes.
gotten any mindlessness in? Do you have any views from the couch to share?
So I do have some.
Since we're recording for the third time in less than a week.
I know. It's very, very difficult. So we had some more. So Atlanta, Real Housewives of Atlanta. So that ended last week, right? So this week they had like a flashback episode. Where they do like their top 10, they usually pick a new thing. And this was like top 10, you know, like shocking moments basically is what they did. And it's kind of went through because it was 10 years of having
I like
the
when
show.
Family Guy has flashbacks.
You always turn off whenever Seinfeld has it.
Well, no, those are, that's different.
The clip
that's,
shows.
That's a clip show.
Clip
I can't,
shows.
Oh, I hate
well, that's
those
what
things.
This is essentially is a clip show, right? So, but it's kind of funny to see how like, you know, because the show's been on for 10 years to see how like, these and there's like some of the women that have been on it for all 10 years and so it's kind of funny to see how their looks have changed and how much more fake they might look.
Well, what about their attitudes?
Attitudes have not changed whatsoever. So yeah, so there was that. And then I have a new show that started, and I don't think I brought it up yet. So it's called Southern Charm New Orleans. So there's two. There's a Southern Charm that takes place in Charleston. And then now there's a Southern Charm in New Orleans. And the New Orleans one is cool in the sense that because we were there and they actually eat at some of the restaurants that we went to and stuff. So it's kind of cool to reminisce of. It's like, oh, I was there. And, you know, when they go through stuff. But it's also one of the quote unquote actors, reality people used to play football. And so he for the Saints, and he's like going through some stuff where he concussion, like the concern for all the concussions for the football players. And so he and his wife are having some major drama over that because she's like worried for him. And he's like, I'm fine. And, you know, it's drunkenness. And
do you know his
during...
name?
Oh, wait. Linda texted me. Hold on. Linda, our patron, texted me about it. This is why I kind of remember it up.
This is podcasting gold.
I know. It's Jeff. His name's Jeff. Oh, I know, I know that.
There's only been two football players in the history of the NFL named Jeff.
Jeff.
So we're good to go.
He's a big dude.
Oh, and one of them was on the Saints.
It was big, too.
Wait a minute. A big football player?
It
wow.
White? Does that narrow it down at all? Jeff White? No?
That's
okay.
Kind of racist, I think.
I know. Actually, you know what? They don't really give the last names on a lot of... Well, no, I guess they do.
I'm pretty
they
sure
did.
I could Google this.
You could Google
but
it. But anyway,
I'm not going to.
So the New Orleans one is kind of cool because it's actually taking place like during... They're filming during Mardi Gras as well, so that's kind of interesting. A
lot of beads.
Yeah, a lot of beads going on, a lot of drinking. It's just... like my shows and these newer ones is a lot of drinking for these people that are not young. Like these are like grown like, in their 30s, late 30s, some of them early 40s. And the amount of drinking these guys do, it's like, oh my gosh.
So it's like,
I can't do it.
It's like midlife Jersey Shore.
Yes. I mean, it's just like, it's actually, I bow down to the fact that these people can get up and they have like legit jobs too. So, I mean, one's going to law school. One has her own company. It's just like, these are legit people that they get up the next morning and go to work, but they party like professionals. And I
could do that at one point in my life. I don't care to anymore though.
Yeah, I can't. Two glasses of wine and I'm like having restless night sleeps because I'm just, my heart's pounding. So I can't. I feel like, you know, I'm really old when I watch it. And these people are not that much younger than me. They're younger, but they're not that much younger. Huh. So there's that. And then I binged watch today, actually, because I ran out of TV. It's going into the summer, and a lot of the shows are ending. And I don't know what Bravo does in the summertime, but Linda and I are always struggling to find shows in the summertime. So that's when she usually catches up on her Cork TV. Because she's like, she loves her Cork TV. I can't.
Catching up on Cork
catching
TV.
Catching up. She records Cork TV, I swear. Like the, you know, Judge Judy, you know, like all those, like Hot Bench. I think that's one of them too.
Hot Bench?
Yes. I'm not kidding.
Is that
you.
A good looking judge or what?
I don't know. So she records all these. So it's kind of funny. So that's when she catches up on that. So I struggle for shows. So she introduced me to a new one today called Little People, Big World. And it's about little people that live across and they're, you know, trying to make their way at like dating and stuff. And there's like a convention that they went to. And I was like, it was kind of interesting to see. And they have like talks and, you know, like one's like a Mormon. I'm like, oh, and, you know, and he's like in love with this woman that was clearly just using him to get on the show. I mean, it's just obvious. But it was so I binge watched that today too. And everyone just wait, hold on.
Oh, there was a big development.
Is everyone sitting down for this?
Well, some people run and listen to this.
All right, well, I don't want you
I'm afraid that they're gonna go to sleep, so this can't be any worse.
Don't trip while you're running, while you're listening to this. I got on the treadmill this morning.
Which sounded like a wounded animal.
It did.
Not you this time.
Not the,
but the treadmill. The treadmill sounded like a wounded animal.
It was,
I think I'm going to need to look up a guy to come tune that thing up.
It was not pretty.
It was not
If you're not sound. On it, it sounds fine. But as soon as you step on it, it's like,
probably mad because we stepped on it. Or you stepped on it.
Why are you on me?
I was perfectly happy as a coat rack.
So yes, on the treadmill for 30 minutes this morning.
What were you watching while on the treadmill?
I was watching Grace and Frankie on Netflix. It's a Netflix series with
yeah, we talked about this before.
So good. It's
it's like Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, right?
Yeah.
Who are like 900 years old.
But Jane Fonda just, you have to hate her because she just looks so amazing. And I know she's had work, but she looks amazing. Like she has to, you can have work done, I get it, but you still have to stay fit. And she looks fit. Like she looks like she could probably kick some booty if she wanted. So yeah, 30 minutes on the treadmill. I'm not going to tell you my speed, but I was walking.
It doesn't matter.
I was walking.
So that led me to ask for Mother's Day, what race entry would you like? And I didn't get an answer. I got a lot of laughing.
Yeah.
But no.
See how that works out. Well, you had a freak out moment because on the radio, they were talking about how Mother's Day was this weekend. You're like, wait, what?
Okay, so this is a pet peeve, right?
Right. Yeah,
so
I agree. This was a legit one.
I have a lot of pet peeves, but this one is legit. So on the ad, they said Mother's Day is next Sunday.
Right.
It's Wednesday when we're recording. So it's next Sunday is this Sunday.
Is
they're the same thing.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, no, Mother's Day is this weekend, and it's not.
No, it's next weekend.
It's the following week.
The following Sunday, yes.
Weekend after. So it's a week and a half away.
Yeah.
So there's a Sunday in between. So when there's two Sundays, the closest Sunday is the next Sunday.
I agree.
So that's a terrible ad.
Yeah.
That's a terrible ad.
I know. But you had your freak out moment. And no, I do not want a race bib.
Do you want me to get the treadmill repaired?
Wow, that's the best Mother's Day gift ever.
I'm going with no on all of this.
Well, I do want to get the treadmill repaired. Yes, I do want to do that. Is that separate. My Mother's Day gift? I would prefer not, but, I've never been picky as to what you get me for a present, so.
Wow, that I think I'm decent at gifts.
You are. You're very good. So if you were to give me getting the treadmill fixed as a present, that would be weak beyond belief. Like, that's just like, so you're calling me fat because I need to work out. That's where women go. That's where women go.
Psycho. That has nothing to do with it.
Just what happens.
I just want us all to be moving.
Yeah. But I moved.
And now our hike we were going to do in June.
Fall. No, we decided a couple podcasts ago we talked about we're going to
move.
No,
we were
going to
do an interim one because your mom was coming.
Oh, right.
But now she's not.
Now she's not.
So.
Because she's having cataract surgery.
Right.
But we could still do something. I'm sure we can find someone to watch our adorable daughter.
We could. I mean, we can talk to my mom and stuff. Yeah.
Or, anyone, our listeners that want to come
by. Any listeners that want to come by. You can just come to the basement and record, too. That's not creepy sounding at all. Well, we all prefer that your mom get the surgery and not drive from Nebraska to Chicago with cataracts.
It's only one eye, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. Cataract.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Is it cataract then?
Seriously, you're asking me?
No.
Yeah. So she can see out of one eye. This her death procession's not very good right now.
I'm just afraid that the next trip, which would be like the next one that she takes, not the one after that, would be a problem.
Yes. No, I told her because she felt bad because she wanted to come and see us and the baby and my brother and his family too. And so she was planning on it and she felt bad to like let us down in that respect. And I said, no. We understand. I mean, because, she has to pay for this stuff. It's not 100% covered. So, it's, and she needs
to
recover.
It's fine that you're letting us down.
Yeah.
Perfectly good.
So that's the last couple of days. Big, big announcement this morning. Because you took Michaela.
Right.
So
well, I committed to that.
You did.
So it started today.
Are you taking her tomorrow too?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
I have to do a delivery to a customer anyway, so, it's the opposite direction, but I'm going to have to be in the car.
But you have to get out of the car anyway.
No, my plan is to take her at least 3 days, if not four, to try to give you the time in the morning to get it done.
It was nice.
Now, if it would have been me, I would have been outside because it's perfect weather.
Right, no.
And you're on a treadmill.
I get bored.
You are... Of a minority of a minority of a minority, though.
Well,
doing
I don't know
that.
About that many minorities, but yeah.
Yeah. Nobody likes the treadmill. No one.
I don't know what to tell you. There's people out there. They wouldn't sell them if people didn't like them.
No, they sell them because those torture traps are necessary when the weather is bad. Or if you have, kids in the house that you can't leave to go outside.
I guess I could, rig some kind of contraption where my phone is up and I can watch Netflix on my phone while I'm walking outside.
Huh. That sounds super safe.
Totally. Yeah.
It's safe as a cataract ridden driver. All right. So that's huge though. I'm proud that you did that. Very proud that you did that.
Oh, I wonder what my steps are.
Oh, that's right. So we're into May. So did you up it to 5,000?
How am I only at 42?
Well, you didn't go very far.
But
that's how it works.
I did over a mile.
For you, that's like 3,700 steps. So
I gotta charge my
2,400 steps, maybe.
Yeah, we're in May. I'm supposed to be doing 5,000 now, right? Yeah.
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 But so you didn't take it back to the 4,000 since you really weren't accomplishing that. You're just gonna skip that step.
Keep on going.
Kind of how the weather has skipped from winter to summer.
Eventually, I'm gonna be on track.
On a track?
A track? No.
No.
Treadmill track.
Did you see our next door neighbor's Instagram feed?
No.
We've talked about her before. She's a high school principal.
Yeah.
She did track work today.
Oh, did she?
With the track team.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah.
More power to her.
Yeah. I thought it was
pretty
cool.
You could go with them.
No, it's a girls track team.
That
would be
work.
A restraining order waiting to happen.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, speaking of that, though. I got back
order.
Out there. Yeah.
Order.
Speaking of restraining orders, I haven't talked about the Gomers in a while.
That's true.
Well, they're kind of a hiatus. And then, although if you listened to them and you didn't donate at whatever low level that you had to donate to get the special episodes.
Yeah.
So I really highly recommend
donating
and doing that. Eventually you should also donate to us, but that's a whole nother
issue.
But the specials that they recorded, especially the one about starting over, was really good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they always are good.
Yeah, but enjoy them.
It was really good. But anyway, no, what I meant was, speaking of track work, I got back out there today.
Yes.
My first run since the race, taking it super cautious. I had 2 miles to do at an easy pace. And I don't know what my easy pace should be now.
Mm-hmm.
My talk with Andy, Coach Andy, is tomorrow over at Silver Fox.
Yep.
The plan worked great, obviously, right? I mean,
yeah,
I PR'd. So
yeah.
Any, has taken me on as a ongoing athlete,
mm-hmm.
and I prepaid him for a year so he couldn't fire me. Well, he could
he
in refund, but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, and he might.
He very well could.
Yeah, many people have tried.
It's going to be awful for him. I feel bad for him, actually. But we talked tomorrow about basically what's next,
mm-hmm.
and what I'm, you know, looking at doing. And the problem is I'm looking at like 800 things.
Yeah.
And I need to start to narrow that down. And, you know, and I'm going to argue with him about this weekend's 5K because I want to run faster. And he doesn't want me to.
He wants you to not be hurt.
Which is legit.
Yeah. And he is your coach now. So don't you kind of have to listen to him?
Well, so he's not a drill sergeant.
Well, then, but still.
I should.
Like
the answer is I should listen
yeah.
to him. And kids should listen to me. But they don't. You know, and basically what it comes down to is sometimes asking for forgiveness versus permission is a strategy that I employ. I don't know.
But this is like, I feel like for this, I mean, you have your conversations with him tomorrow, state your case. But if he feels really strongly that you should not race it, then I feel like you need to listen.
Oh, I'm already sure he feels really strongly about it because he wrote a dissertation in my training app for that day about how and why I should only run tempo pace.
So I really feel like you should listen.
I know. But
I know you want to do
like in
a
shape,
PR.
Though.
I understand.
And I really want to get that sub 30.
I get it.
And I'm in the shape to
but
do it.
But there's more 5Ks out there where you can get the sub 30.
There is. But there's not... There is.
And so,
but this one has no bling. And if I'm not going to get a sub 30, it's kind of a waste of my time.
It's you're getting out there to run and you're doing it with your son.
That's true. Daniel is going to be here and he's going to run 5K also.
Right.
We're not running it together, though. That dude's going to smoke me. Later, oldie.
I'm just saying.
He'll be 10 minutes faster if I do Andy's pace.
Good money for Andy.
It's true.
And you need to, and he's, you know.
Good money. That dude is, like, seriously.
I know. But
his plans
still,
are really
you employed
reasonable.
Him. You want, you got on board with him because you trust him. And
I do.
You want to do things the right way. So I feel like in this case.
It doesn't mean that he's not going to get my questioner tendency.
Of course. You can definitely question him. But in the end, doesn't he have, like, the final say?
No. No, it's my body. My body, my race. He doesn't have the final say. Obviously, I'm the one running.
Right.
But I will. I'm not just dismissing it. If I was dismissing it, I actually wouldn't ask him any questions. I would just do whatever I want.
But you're going to do it anyway.
So when I'm not asking questions, Andy, that's telling you there could be a problem.
Andy, I just want to make sure it's noted that I'm on your side.
I get it.
I'm Team
I really
Andy.
Do. Like, nobody's
Hashtag
Team Pete.
Team
Nobody,
Andy.
Nobody's Team Pete. So the... The next 5K I have on the schedule is in Toronto,
oh,
and that's
right.
not until July.
Yes, but there's others that you could get
and
on the schedule probably.
I'm looking at half marathons this year, maybe over doing a full, maybe doing a couple of more halves, and maybe even doing some almost back-to-back, like do one more at that tempo pace, a little bit slower,
mm-hmm.
and then go and race the one, you know, a few weeks later or what have you. I don't know. I'm going to talk to Andy about all this and see what he has to say, because I do want to have some fun. I want to get faster.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good idea to get a little bit more work on the half marathon distance.
I think that's a good idea.
To be really ready for that.
Yeah.
Marathon.
I would agree. I think that's a good idea. That's a good strategy.
So, you know, hopefully, I mean, watching the marathon training going on for some of the people, you know, that I have watched in sub 30 and in Endurance for Everyone and in those groups, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. It's a much bigger time commitment than a marathon. To me, at least from the training I'm seeing, it seems like it's a more than two times training effort. It's more than doubling the training effort. So although it's double the mileage, it's more than doubling the training effort.
Well, that makes sense.
I believe so too, because I cannot imagine, like, at the end of the 13.1, I think I could have gone faster this time had I done a few things differently, but I'm always going to think that.
Yeah.
I'm never going to have left everything out there. I don't believe, for me. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't imagine at any point past, say, 9 miles, 10 miles of doing that all the way to 26. So I've got a long way to go.
I think getting some more halves underneath your belt that are like as successful as this past, or, you know, they don't have to be PRs every time, but just getting the mileage on you. I mean, I think that it'll just set you up for better when you get time to do that full.
Yeah, I think that understanding.
Plus, who wants to train for a full marathon in the middle of summer? It's too hot.
Well, I mean, in the middle of winter is no better. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's a good time of year. We have to move.
That's not happening. Well, we can move, but we have to move to Atlanta. The only place that my boss will love us.
A lot of hills there.
There you go.
So, but anyway, so that's where it's at for me. I wanted to wish good luck to a few people running this weekend.
Yeah.
To all the people doing the Broad Street Run in Philadelphia, the 10-miler. Good luck. I mean, that looks like such an awesome race. Someday, I definitely would like to do that one. To Rob, our guest from the last episode, Rob Bozovich, he's got the Pittsburgh Marathon this weekend.
This weekend, right?
And Kevin, our listener Kevin, who I talk to a lot, he's a fellow Silver Fox, Team Fox.
Yeah.
He's got his Lincoln Marathon.
Oh, yeah. I bet there's, I think so.
And his wife, Holly Ann, does too. And, you know, it's going to be a little warm.
Yeah.
But I have full confidence that their training is, like, exactly where it needs to be, and they're going to crush it. So,
is there a half also with the Lincoln?
Usually there is, yeah.
Yeah. I think I know some people that are doing the half.
Cool. You know a lot of runners, it seems.
I
so.
Do. It's really kind it's of kind of weird. Interesting. I know.
So here's the thing, though. Kevin's quest is breaking five.
Yeah.
And if he does break five,
what's he going to do?
No, I have to drink an IPA because Kevin's a big IPA drinker. So.
Well, that's not too bad.
Have you? Well, it's I don't know. It depends on if you like IPA or not. So, but you know, it should be good. All right. So next, we're going to have a guest on, and we're just going to call him right on Skype now.
Yeah.
So I learned this from Ten Junk Miles. So we're going to call James Latcher, and James is a fan of the show, which is just hilarious to say.
I'm sorry.
Are you? Yeah, for him.
For him. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not me. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure people can hear stuff, but
I do like the Skype ring.
It's a fun ring.
Yeah, so.
Hello.
James. Can you hear us?
Hey. I'm not connected here. Hold on.
Oh, all right. So this is where it would be super handy if I could edit.
Right, but.
But I'm not going to bother.
We don't edit.
No.
Just keep it real. Okay.
All right. Are you there now?
I forgot to put on my Bluetooth. Okay.
Oh, there you go. All right. Great. So, James, welcome to the Fat Man Chronicles. You've got both of us. I mean, you've got Gretchen. So, really, that's all that matters.
Having me. Hey, Gretchen.
Hello. Thanks for joining.
How are you? How were the views from the couch?
They're great. We did not make you sit through them. You should be grateful to that.
You know what? When I was driving home, see, my girlfriend lives in another town, so it's about a two-hour drive. I was actually listening to you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
Very meta. and you were mentioning how your shows didn't happen until that night or the next day, so I figured you're going to have a bunch of stuff today.
I had a few things. I had a few things, but we're about to go into the summer, like, so everything's kind of winding down for summer. So you know, it was a few things, but yeah. Now I hear, you know, people were upset that there was no views last time, and I missed the first part of the episode. So we definitely caught up. Right. Definitely caught up.
Yeah, it was way too much me. That's really the consensus.
Yeah, you went into a lot of detail on your race. That was awesome.
Yeah, probably too much, but that's okay. I left out some of the gross stuff. So anyway.
For once.
Yeah, for once, right? So anyway, James, thanks so much for joining us. And I haven't told the listeners really anything about you except that you unfortunately do listen to the show. So, and while driving, so that's like really risky. But we definitely appreciate you being on. And if you could maybe just give us a brief synopsis about how, you know, your life's been over the last 4 years, and then we're going to kind of walk backwards from there and then catch back up. But I think it's a great story, and I've really enjoyed connecting with you, on social media, on Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, well, I'll go back a little further, because obviously the big thing was I was big. And so when I was a kid, I wasn't too big. I was kind of normal size, but like a lot of people, I gained weight as I got older. And then in my 20s and 30s, I kind of just slowly put on pounds. But when you kind of do the math, you just have to put on like 5 or 10 pounds a year, and then you're getting pretty heavy if you're consistent with it. And I had a gambling addiction that I had to deal with. I don't know if you read that newspaper article, but
yep.
I did quit the gambling right before I turned 30. I'm still abstinent from that. And I think part of the thing was, you know, I kind of had dual addictions going, and then everything went towards the food because that was my escape instead of the gambling. So I just kept eating, and then I had some periods of like up and down, you know, like a lot of people, they go on diets or they get serious for 6 months or whatever. And but eventually I just kept creeping and creeping, and then I got into my 40s and I was almost 400 pounds, and I actually went over 400 a couple times when I went to the doctor. I think my highest was 403. And I moved out to the Central Coast of California. I was living in Denver, but I'm from San Diego, so I'm actually a California guy. And so I was kind of moving home. And then I got the job at the county bus system. I got health insurance. And then I looked at the requirements and stuff, and I realized they provided for bariatric surgery, and I got all excited, and you know, I was joking with my friends about how it would be kind of funny if I ever got skinny, because I hadn't been like, you know, under 300 pounds since 2008 or 2009 something. And but I went through the process that took like 18 months because of a bunch of people not doing their jobs right.
But, did you have to lose weight to get to that like level to get
well,
to?
They kind of want you to, but nobody really does. So you get, so I have an HMO. You get a referral from your doctor, and they submit that to the, you know, the local doctors network, and they submit that to the big insurance company, and then you get approved to start the process. And then you have to take these health classes, and then that's where they want you to learn how to eat and exercise. They want you to lose a little weight there. And then you have to have some one-on-ones with the dietitian, and then you have to have a psychiatric evaluation. You have to do all these tests, like an EKG and stuff like that. And then then you meet the surgeon finally. So I didn't meet the surgeon until about 6 months after I started the process.
Oh wow.
Right. So I didn't, and he was way out in Bakersfield, which is about 2 hours from where I live. And then when I met the surgical team, they have a bariatric team at the hospital, and they told me, okay, now is when you have to lose weight. You gotta lose like 20 pounds, because you need to kinda thin out the fat around your liver, and your liver will shrink too. Because that's like the main organ that's in the way of the stomach. So they literally lift that flap up and they get in there and they cut out 80% or so of my stomach. I don't know if you guys ever watched 600 Pound Life.
Oh, I have. I have watched that.
We have had no views from the couch about this yet, though.
Well, because I only, like, watched it, like, once.
Yeah, it's on tonight. I'm watching it later.
Oh, okay. I need some shows. Maybe I'll binge watch it.
Yeah, check it out. Well, I watch it almost every week because it kind of relates to my life still. But they do it laparoscopically, so... They stick like five holes in you, and they go in there with a camera, and they cut out most of your stomach, and then they kind of sew it back together. I mean, don't really sew it back. I don't know what they do, but and they pull it out. And on the show, you'll see there's like this long, thin strip of like organ that they pull out, and that's like the part of the stomach that expands. So. Then you're left with like this banana-shaped stomach, and then you start healing.
Yeah.
And you eat less, but it also it changes the hormones in your stomach because the hormones that are in there, that are in that part that they took out, aren't there anymore. And if you start changing your habits and start eating differently, then hopefully you will get rid of the cravings for the junk you used to eat. And that's kind of what I did. But I had stopped kind of eating sugar right before the surgery anyway because I needed to lose that 20 pounds.
Okay.
So I lost about 35 pounds in the 2 months right before the surgery. And then in the year from the time I met the team until a year later, I lost about 165 pounds.
Wow.
And then, I kind of... I don't want to say stalled because I was really happy with my weight because by then I was down to about 230 pounds and I hadn't been that weight since my early 20s, right? So I was like, this is pretty cool. And then I kind of hovered around 220-ish, 225 for a while, and then I got shingles at the end of 2016 and I gained a few pounds because I was lying around eating Velveeta's. You know those cookies?
Oh, you love those.
Oh, yeah. I used to love those.
Yeah, you used to eat those all the time.
Well, those breakfast, breakfast biscuits.
I loved them. And she used to buy them from Costco.
Oh, yeah.
We just bought.
I used to eat two or three at a time.
Oh, gosh.
And then when I discovered they were great for dipping in the coffee, they were so delicious. So I was sitting around recovering from the shingles eating Velveeta's, and I noticed my pants were getting a little tighter. But then about mid-November of 2016, I'd say, the doctor kind of gave me the okay to start exercising again. And
so you weren't allowed, while you're doing this healing part, you weren't really allowed to do any exercise?
Well, because it was on my leg.
Oh, okay.
It had caused a pretty severe abscess infection on my inner thigh on my right leg. It was literally like a hole in my leg. So that's why it took so long. The shingles actually went away after a couple of weeks, but it was this other thing for a while.
Oh.
But then when I started exercising, of course, I took it kind of slow and I started walking and hiking. And then I just kind of jogged here and there, and I had jogged a little bit earlier in the year anyway, but I started kind of running a little bit more and a little bit more, and then I remember very specifically, it was Christmas Day 2016. I woke up really early. I was at my girlfriend's house, and she was still sleeping, and I thought, well, I'm going to go walking and get my steps in, because I had, like, my Fitbit, and I wanted to get my 10,000 steps in every day. And I thought, well, we're going to be doing stuff all day. I'm going to get out of the way. So I went down to the park, and they have like a track that has a trail on it that's like 3/4 of a mile. So I kind of knew how long it was. And I thought, I wonder if I could run a 5K, like without stopping, not really caring about the time or anything. So I ran it, and I ran it in about 37 minutes or so. And I didn't stop, and I was like so happy and proud of myself. And I remember coming back and I said, hey, I just ran a 5K. What? I'm not even awake. It was like 8 in the morning on Christmas and I just ran a 5K. And I said, we should look for a race for me to do so I could see what I could really do on a timed race. And then, like, I think later that day we searched for, like, the closest, nearest race. And then we found a race in Ventura in February. That was my first 5K race.
Official.
So that was about 14 months ago.
And what did you do that one in?
Just I ran that in 34:51. So my goal was to get around under 37, maybe 36, and I broke 35, which I thought was awesome.
That is.
Which was great. Right. And then I ran another 5K on my birthday 4 weeks later, and I barely PR'd that. I ran like a 34:27. But that was a little harder because it was more hills, because it was around where I live.
Yeah, we don't know about those here.
But then I ran another 5K about a month later, and I ran 29:50 something. So I like annihilated my PR then.
So I've been working on trying to get sub 30 for over a year, and you do it in your third race out, like 2 years after, you know, bariatric surgery and losing, you know,
and the shingle thing
and the shingles. Yeah, I feel like a slacker. Like
you are, and you are. Basically, the moral of the story is
I'm a slacker.
You are a slacker. Yeah.
Well, so when I started the running in like November 2016, I decided, well, you know, and you've talked about this on your podcast. I just heard you talk about how diet and exercise are separate, you know, when it comes to weight loss.
Oh, yeah.
So I realized that I needed to kind of tighten up my sugar and the processed stuff and those bad carbs. And I like how you call them right carbs, you know, the good ones like fruits and veggies and stuff.
Absolutely.
So I really tightened that stuff up and the pounds just melted away. Like I was at about 225. And I lost about 30 pounds over the next 8 months. It was very steady, like a pound a week. And just by eating whatever I wanted, but not eating the junk.
Right.
So by mid 2017, I was in like the 190s, which I'm still at right now. I'm probably close to 200, but I'm still probably 195 to 200. So I've just been doing races and eating right, and now I'm a marathoner.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, we're gonna circle back to that because I've got like 50 questions, and we're gonna kind of go back. So, as a kid, you said that you were, you know, quote normal size. Were you an athlete? Did you play sports or do anything?
I played Pop Warner for a couple. Well, I say I was normal size. I was like probably a little chubby, but not like more than 5 or 10 pounds, you know. Like I played Pop Warner, and then the year I quit, I decided I didn't want to like make weight because, you know, they have those weight limits.
Gretchen's giving me a look.
What is a Pop? I don't think that's a word. I think you're making up
Pop Warner.
Pop, what? I
football.
Oh, football.
That's like Little League football.
Like Little League football.
Oh, football. You're so trying to be all fancy.
Each division has a weight limit, and after my fourth year, I was a little chubby, and I decided, because I played offensive line, like, I didn't want to, like, keep my weight down to play the next year. So, but that being said, I never really, nobody would have looked at me and thought I was heavy or, you know, overweight. I was just, like, kind of an average-looking kid. But I played Little League all throughout, like, from, like, age 7 to 18.
But not a runner.
I never played high school sports.
Not a runner either.
No.
And what about your...
Like between the bases.
Between the bases.
That counts.
And how about your family, like your mom and dad? Were they normal size, overweight?
They were overweight. They're both, yeah, my dad probably weighed 230 at the most. He was in the Navy. He always had trouble kind of keeping his weight down, but he never got super heavy. And my mom got up to like 200. She's only like 5'2". She's Japanese. But she's pretty tiny now. She probably weighs like 120 pounds now.
Wow. Wow.
But they were both overweight, and all my siblings are overweight now to varying degrees. I have two sisters and a brother.
So there was some tendency there, basically.
So there was some genetics probably that played a small role. And my dad was an alcoholic, so I think I get that sort of addictive personality from him.
Sure, sure. I mean, I totally get that. I mean, from a food perspective, I get it. And, you know, selling alcohol for a living, I see it often. So, you know, so
can
you...
Can I ask you a quick question, Pete? What, I know you're in the wine business. What exactly is your job?
That's a great question. If you figure it out... No, I'm just kidding. I work for a small... retailer in Chicago. We've got three stores, and I kind of run my title's director of e-commerce, so I do a lot of things for our online business, and I do a lot with operations. I do buying. You know, it's a small business, small family owned, so I'm like a jack of all trades at the end of it. Yeah, and I've been in the business for the better part of 14 years one way or another.
You get a lot of free wine, and
we're drinking one tonight.
Yeah, we do get some free wine. We're having some tonight. You know, that you have to taste so that you can write emails that then get people to buy wine. So that's
okay.
You know, that's a big part of it. We do descriptions and all that. So yeah, it's fun. It's a fun industry, you know, and it's not great though when you like food a lot. Because there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of food and a lot of wine. So you've got to be very careful. It's, you know, I haven't done a lot of events since we started eating, you know, better. Just because it's really difficult when you're in that situation. So got to make good choices. But anyway, back to you. You've got this. So you're through high school and you're pretty much the same. And in college, that isn't, did you go to college? Did you go to school or?
Yeah, I went to community college and then I graduated from San Diego State.
Cool.
The Fighting Aztecs.
The Fighting Aztecs. Actually, I think
our friend just took her son there.
Yeah.
To tour it.
I think that's where my brother's friend Carl played baseball too.
Oh.
Back in the day. Yeah. All right. So you're there. And are you gaining weight in college? Because most of us do.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Well, in high school, I was probably in the 180s and then probably high 190s by the time I graduated high school. So I was a little stocky, but, you know, in high school. But then once I went to college, like I moved out of my mom's house and I started living with roommates and stuff. Then, the Taco Bell, the McDonald's, you know, there's so many Mexican, like, taco shops all over San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all over, and you have a car, you're driving through. I mean, and food's pretty cheap, fast food. You just gain in weight, and then, like I said, my early 20s, I got into the 200s. And then by my late 20s, I'm approaching 300. I think I topped 300 when I was like 32.
Sorry.
And then I did dip back under 300 in my late 30s because I went on like a little bit of a health kick for a while and I lost 70 pounds. But that came back eventually.
Yeah, I know how that feels. So as you're in college, is this where the gambling starts to eat at you too?
Yeah. When I was 21, me and a friend had a birthday around the same time, and we both turned 21, and his parents took us to Vegas to celebrate his birthday. And I was never really a gambler up until then, but then I guess I sort of caught the bug. And then I would go back a few times a year, and I sometimes even by myself. And then by the late 90s, the internet was getting going, and I was sort of an early adopter, and I started online gambling. So I would be betting on sports through sports betting websites. Uh-huh. And then at the end of 1999, I first went to Gamblers Anonymous, and then I had a series of relapses and abstinences for the next 2+ years. And then I finally quit in February of 2002.
Okay.
So right before I turned 30.
Okay. And yeah. This is where you've already got an issue with food. You kick the gambling, and is this where food really kind of takes over that addictive part of the personality?
I think kind of looking back, that's a good narrative, but in the moment, I never really thought of it that way. But I think the food definitely became my main escape, because I was committed to not gambling, because that can get really expensive. But with the food, you know, like we said, it's pretty cheap, and it's everywhere. You live in a big city like San Diego, you can go to the gas station, 7-Eleven, there's drive-thrus. I mean, this is when drive-through, 24-hour drive-thrus are starting to pop up. I mean, anytime I had a craving, and I could have Wendy's one day, and then Taco Bell the next, and then McDonald's the next, you know, and just kind of jump around. There was always some sort of junk food I could have. And then also, like with candy and Ben and Jerry's ice cream, I started to get addicted to. It's just, there's so much yummy processed stuff out there.
Well, I have to say, you know, you're going one day to the next, like from Taco Bell to Wendy's to Burger King to McDonald's. Like, I like to string those together in my heyday. So, I mean, I never got, you know, quite as large as you did, but I think it's all relative, right? I mean, I think. Like I've said to Gretchen before, like I'm basically trapped in like a 500-pound body because I want to just eat that stuff constantly, right? And even now, I could easily fall back. So as you said, you started to lost a big chunk of weight. What did you do at that point then? And that was in your kind of mid to late 30s, you said?
That was around 2008-ish, I think. I probably got serious for maybe 6 months. I lost about 70 pounds. I went hiking a lot, and I started counting my calories. I started using CalorieKing.com. I don't know if that's still around.
No, I don't know it.
Like everybody uses my fitness pal, but
yeah.
I started using CalorieKing.com, and that's when I believed in calories, which we could talk about later.
For sure, absolutely.
So I was pretty diligent about, like, you know, if I went hiking, then maybe I could eat 2,000 calories or something, and if I didn't, I'd eat a little less. When you're over 300, I started around 350-ish pounds, it's pretty easy to lose weight if you cut your calories. And, you know, but I kind of bottomed out at, like, 280, 270 maybe, I think I got down to. And then slowly it kind of creeped back.
Yeah. So then you get to this, I'll fast forward again. So now you've kind of regained the weight. You get a new job, and it's with the Transportation Authority, right? And this is where you get the insurance. Where do you, I mean, you mentioned your girlfriend, and
yeah.
I know she's super supportive of you and a big part of your life. When did, like, where in the timeline do you guys meet?
I met her, like a month after my surgery. So I topped out at like 403. When I met the surgeon, I was 395. When I had the surgery, I was about 360. And then when I met her, I think I was 323, because I just went to the surgeon's office for like a checkup, and I got weighed. So I was heavy when I met her, but I knew I was losing fast. We actually met on a big people dating site.
Oh.
Because when you're big, it's hard to meet people.
Wow.
I didn't even, well, I guess there's a dating
site
for everything.
There's a dating site for everything.
Farmersonly.com.
Other big people.
Huh.
You know, and that's sort of why we live so far apart, because there's not, I mean, these sites are kind of niche, and I live in a small town anyway, so there was hardly anybody around my area. So I expanded my search. But I found a good one.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's very, yeah. I mean, that's really interesting. I guess I probably, some if somebody would ask me, I'd have been like, oh, yeah, there probably is.
Right.
But I hadn't really thought about it. So that's pretty cool.
Sites for everything, yeah. But like I said, if you kind of live in sort of a smaller town, like there's only like 180,000 people in this whole county.
Oh, wow.
There's only like 45,000 people in the town I live in. So.
But statistically, like 120,000 of those are overweight.
Right, but they're not, they're, you know, a lot of them are in marriages. And,
right, right,
they're
right.
They're not on that site.
Very cool. All right, so then you get this job, and what do you do there? Are you a bus driver?
I'm actually a bus driver. Just kind of a precursor to getting the job, my boss likes to kind of tell this story now. When they interviewed me, they almost didn't hire me because I was so heavy. Because when you drive a bus, you have to pass a Department of Transportation physical, and you have to be able to sit in the seat comfortably and, you know, drive for long periods of time. Not only that, you're driving a gigantic piece of machinery with passengers on board.
Right.
So obviously safety is a big issue.
Yeah.
So he actually discussed it with the safety manager, and they almost didn't hire me, but they went ahead and gave me a chance, and they thought, well, we'll see how the training goes. If he survives the training and does well.
Literally? Then, like, they were afraid that you wouldn't, like...
Yeah. He tells the story all the time. Like, literally, he was concerned about the safety issues. Also, he was also concerned about how comfortable I would be and if my knees would hold up, because there's a lot of leg movement you have to do when you're driving the bus. So he thought, well, he might last a year or two, you know, and by then he'll be full-time and have health insurance, so maybe he could lose some weight and get his act together.
So I have to ask, did any of the passengers, like while you're bigger, did any of the passengers give you a hard time?
Oh yeah.
A couple.
I'll never forget this one guy. He was an a-hole.
thank you for the PG.
Right. He was a jerk. He kept saying, you eat too many cheeseburgers. How many cheeseburgers did you eat? Stop eating cheeseburgers.
Like a heckler.
Well, he was a heck, right. For about 20 minutes, one ride, he was heckling me.
Oh, my God.
He was mad about something else that happened. They didn't like what I did, about how I left a passenger at the stop that was running late or something. So he just started, like, heckling me about my weight.
Oh, my God.
And I kept, you know what I kept thinking, Pete? I kept thinking, I don't even like cheeseburgers. I like tacos. I like, you know, regular hamburgers. I like Chipotle,
Did you want to be like, listen, if you're going to heckle me, get that right. It's tacos. Right. Tacos are my go-to. You
know, I like Ben and Jerry's. I like M&M's. You know.
Man,
There were a few, you know, maybe three or four over the years, I mean, that kind of asked me about my weight. Most of them were just kind of curious, like, how I felt and if I was comfortable because of the extra weight I was carrying.
So then as you start losing weight, I'm sure you've got some regular passengers. Like, did you talk to them about it? I mean, like, I don't know. I've never been a bus rider, really. So I don't know. Like, do people talk to you about this stuff?
Oh, I would, because I used to ride the bus. I totally talked to my bus driver, because I used to ride the same bus, like, in the city all the time. And I'd say morning to them. And, like, if they weren't there.
Well, I mean, I'd say good morning.
Yeah,
I mean,
but if you notice things, I totally would have noticed. I would have said something. They must have. Well, your regulars.
Let me kind of give you a break. So here's how my particular bus system works and how most of them work. Every year they have what are called bids. So every year you bid on your route either two or three times during the year. We do it twice based on the college schedule. So in May, we bid on from May through August, and then in August, we bid on August through the next May. So we change our routes depending on our seniority. It's all based on seniority. So the first few years I was there, I was constantly changing routes.
Oh.
So I wouldn't have necessarily the same passengers because I'd have different routes.
Oh, but okay.
Did you go back to the heckler and be like, hey, look at me now?
I did see that guy like a year after, like I lost a significant amount of weight, but you know, most of them didn't recognize me.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I've always had a schedule where I had weekdays off. Like today I had off. I have Tuesdays and Wednesdays off currently. So what I do is I drive disabled and elderly people on the weekday. It's like the American with Disabilities transportation that every county has to have.
That's awesome.
And then on the weekends, I drive a fixed route, and that's the one that goes from Morro Bay, California, to up to Hearst Castle.
Oh, I love Hearst Castle.
So it's a really beautiful route. It's literally right on. Yeah.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, so my regulars are on the weekends that I see. I see about 5 or 10 regulars almost every weekend now. And I've had the same route now for 3 years.
That's pretty cool. I mean, honestly, up until this conversation, the most I knew about bus driving came from Ralph Cramden and the Honeymooners. So I just don't know much, right?
And I didn't either. I went to college, and I actually worked in financial services for a few years after college. And I never thought I'd drive a bus. I mean, I thought that was for like blue collar guys that didn't have an education or whatever. But life takes some like twists and turns. And when you're kind of down in your luck and you just need a job, you're just like applying for stuff. And a friend of mine suggested applying for the bus, and I got the job. And I have to honestly say, this is the best job I've ever had. I'm the happiest I've ever been. It is no stress. Because once you learn the route and once you get to know your passengers, like all the ADA passengers, you know where they're going. You develop a relationship with them. I mean, I had one of them come to the race the other day with her
kids. That's awesome.
In a wheelchair.
Very cool.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And she was wearing like the Team James shirt. I mean, so you get to know people, and my route is so easy going up and down the coast. It's like not even working. And I got this sweet gig, Pete, where I get 1 hour breaks in Morro Bay 3 times on a Saturday.
Oh.
It's an 11-hour shift, but I get 3 1-hour breaks. And I literally go running on those breaks oftentimes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Like 2 miles in. Yeah, and I get to like run on the ocean on my break and get paid. I mean, I don't get paid a lot, but it's worth it.
That's awesome.
Hey, there's a lot more to life than
yeah.
money.
Yeah, I mean, not many of us can say that we love what we do. So, I mean, to be able to say that you're happy and that's worth every penny.
For sure. Yeah. So you're sitting a lot, though, overall. I mean, I know you're active with running, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But does, you know, you've been able to maintain your weight. So, and I really think it's at least 80% diet, maybe even more than that, to keep your weight, you know, to lose it and then to keep it off. So are you pretty regimented now? Like, what do you do now to make sure with how much you're sitting and stuff that you're able to maintain the weight where it's at?
Well, I've had a Fitbit for a few years, and now I have a Garmin, and I still try to get my 10,000 steps in. That's not really significant, the number, but it's sort of a nice little round benchmark number that you hear a lot.
Hey, it's significant to some people.
it's very significant to you. Have you ever gotten 10,000 steps?
Yes, I have gotten 10,000 steps before.
Okay. Well, you're going to do that hike. That's going to be a lot of steps, right?
Yeah.
I'm keeping up with you guys, so I know.
I know.
Well, I mean, you'll hear it when it, you know, if you listen
in October, it'll be 10,000 every day. Yeah, right.
But okay. But she got on the treadmill today, so I mean that's like a little spoiler when you listen to the beginning. But yes, she did get on the treadmill today, so we're getting there. Step one.
Very good.
So my really,
girlfriend totally relates to Gretchen. So you have a fan in her.
So from a dietary perspective then, I mean, like, are you bringing stuff with you and making sure that it's pretty regimented?
Typically, yeah, that's one of my things that I do. I don't leave things to chance when I'm out driving the bus, because when I'm doing the disabled transport, I kind of make my own breaks depending on how the schedule breaks down. So depending on where I am at in the county, I might be closer or further away from something healthy to eat. So I always bring my own lunch, and I bring so many snacks that I don't run out. So what I do is I typically bring a salad with some sort of fish in it, like salmon or sardines. And that salad has like kale and mushrooms and tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of stuff. And then I'll have like nuts with dried fruit and string cheese and just like a bunch of snack type stuff, like a bunch of like little sandwich baggies full of snacks. And then I just eat them throughout the day.
And you mentioned earlier that, you know, and I think this is like the perfect time to talk about it a little bit. You know, you said something about calories. So what's your philosophy on that?
Well, I used to, you know, like everybody, not everybody, but, you know, most people think that, you know, like a pound is 3,500 calories or whatever. That's BS. I mean, think about the history of humans. Up until, what, 100-something years ago, a calorie wasn't even invented. Or not invented, but discovered. And the way calories are measured are in a bomb calorimeter, I think they're called. It's based on heat. And that's not how our body processes food. So the whole way we measure calories doesn't relate to how our bodies measure calories. There's a correlation between calories and energy and weight, or I should say fat accumulation and loss, but it's not an exact sort of mathematical equation, because I eat on average probably about 3,000 calories a day. And yeah, I run a lot, but I'm not burning that many calories. I'm just eating a lot of fat and protein and the right carbs, the good carbs, to where I eat to satiation. And then I don't have to worry about counting calories, because think about every other animal on this planet. Do they count calories?
No.
and they're not fat. Like, how many?
Unless they're supposed to be.
Out there that, right. Unless they're, but you know what I'm saying? The only animals that are fat are domesticated cats and dogs, because we feed them processed junk.
So are you of the mindset that not all calories are created equal, basically?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's a big one.
2,000 calories of broccoli is way different than 2,000 calories of Coca-Cola. I mean, I think everybody would agree with that. But
yeah, one's going to make you cramp up really bad.
One's going to make you sick and tired and throw up and feel bad. Now, that's not to say I don't eat junk food once in a while. I mean, the last few days I've been kind of splurging, because, you know, I just ran a marathon. I'm kind of celebrating, so to speak. Like, we went out to pizza the other night, and, you know, we went out to Buffalo Wild Wings the other day, and I had like a mozzarella stick for the first time in like 3 years.
Oh, that sounds so good.
And I had like nachos and, you know, so I do splurge sometimes, but
you're right back at it.
Right. And also, the timing of your calories is important too. Like, when I was on the marathon, I actually had some of those goo gels, which I normally don't have, because they were available on the course, and they're real easy to, you know, shove in your, I mean, it's basically like cake frosting, right?
Right.
But because because I'm running for 5 hours, I burned off those carbs, and those carbs didn't turn. They didn't have time to turn into fat.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're gonna eat a high carb meal if you start exercising in like a half an hour to 2 hours, and you kind of get your heart rate going and get your muscles moving. I think that's way better than if you just eat a big old meal and sit down and watch Netflix.
Yeah, but although that's fun to sit down and watch Netflix, especially for
that's what
for
I
Gretchen.
Do all day.
That's what you like to do. But I think it's interesting. A couple of things. I have a quick question. Then I want to talk about running. You know, before we let you go, because that's a big part of your life and mine. Do you do any sort of like intermittent fasting or anything?
No.
There you go.
Thank you.
You said intermittent fasting, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, I didn't think you did, and I think it's
here's
so.
Here's what I do: if I wake up and I'm not hungry, I won't eat until I get a little hungry.
Yeah, I mean that's. But it's not consciously done.
No.
Right. I think it's interesting because it's
eat late at night too.
No, and, which is a.
That's when I have my popcorn. I kind of splurge and have a little popcorn while I'm watching Family Guy or something.
Oh, I love Family Guy. I brought Family Guy up earlier.
You did.
How about that? So I think it's interesting because we are always saying, as you know, having listened, that not everybody's the same. We're all N equals one experiments.
Right.
And I think that this is the way that you eat. I mean, I know that you eat less sugar overall than the average person, especially added sugar at this point. Take away splurge times. We all have those. But in general, that's true. I think that you probably do eat a little bit more sugar overall than we do, because I think that, you know, like you'll eat probably a little more fruit or dried fruit or what have you. Nothing wrong with that. But my point being that you eat throughout the day. We fast for 12 to 14, 16. Well, I'm 14 to 16 hours a lot of the time lately. But we're typically a 12-hour intermittent fast, like overnight, 12 to 16 hours. We don't eat throughout the day. We don't snack throughout the day and have lost weight and maintained, right? It's just, and you are the opposite in terms of you're eating similar foods to what we eat, but you're kind of eating throughout the day and it works for you. So, you know,
well,
I think that's
though,
a big
keep
one.
Keep in mind, the reason I do this is because I do have a smaller stomach, too. So I,
true.
If I were to do some sort of intermittent fasting, I can't have like a really big meal.
Right.
So kind of doing it the way I do it really works for me, because then I'm never craving. I'm never hungry.
Yeah.
You know, I see people, I have friends on my Fitness Pal in like a bariatric group that I see their calorie counts, and you're talking 800, 1,000 calories, maybe 1,500. I feel like I'd be starving if I was eating that. And they're eating that to maintain, because they're eating protein shakes and the bars and all kinds of liquid stuff. And then they're having a few candy bars and things like that here and there, but they're staying under their calorie counts. But they gotta be starving in between meals.
If you're having that sugar, for
you
sure
have to,
I mean, because your blood sugar is going to crash at some point in between, and you're going to get really hungry.
Right. So I try to tell them, just eat more fat.
Right. a little bit more. So my last question on this,
from a natural source, that's sort of my bottom line. Anything from a natural source, whether it's fat, protein, or carbs, then I'll eat as much as I want.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page. Like with that, we're eat real food.
Right.
You know, if it comes prepackaged, it's probably not the best choice. You know, it was interesting too. Two quick things. Well, let me ask this question, and then we'll get into the running. Would you recommend somebody who is in your similar situation? So, if somebody's really big, if somebody's in that 400-pound, up to 300-pound range, would you recommend that they at least explore bariatric surgery? Because, you know, you're one of the few people I've talked to that has had it and been successful. So it's interesting to me as a choice.
I would absolutely 100% recommend it, because until I mean, it's like a tool. It's like a tool sent down from God. Like, until I got this surgery, like, think about the average person. If they have to lose 100 or more pounds, that is a huge task. Even if you lose 2 pounds a week, that would take a year. And that's being totally consistent for, like, a whole year. That's like, almost inconceivable. So I would say anybody, if you're in the BMI range that qualifies of, like, 40 or more, BMI is another thing, I don't believe it, but if you're in that range where you qualify and you have insurance and you can afford the co-insurance payment, mine was about $3,000, I would say absolutely look into it, because without this tool, knowing what I know now, I probably could have got under 300 pounds, I think. But I don't think I could have gotten under 200 pounds, because it's too easy to overeat when your stomach is the size of a football compared to a banana. So those moments of weakness would be, you know, be bigger if I had a bigger stomach. So this not having the big stomach, like, helps when I have those times when I do kind of indulge or overeat.
Yeah, I mean, it limits your cal. I mean, you can only take so much in before you feel nauseous, I assume.
Right, and especially with the sugar. If you, like, so my birthday was in March, and one of my pastors gave me this bag of, like, caramel popcorn. And I thought, you know, this is good. I'm just going to eat this. I'm hungry. And I ate that, and I threw up about 2 hours later.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that sugar rush, I must have ingested, like, 60 grams of sugar in, like, 20 minutes, right? I mean, it was crazy. So you can't, your stomach kind of forces you not to do stupid stuff like that. Whereas if you have a big stomach, you can get away with that. I mean, you're still not going to feel that great, but you're probably not going to throw up.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know I can still put down some sugar when I want to. I proved that after the race. So speaking of that, you just ran a marathon. So you went from over 400 pounds to a marathon in, like, less than 4 years, basically.
Yeah.
So tell us about that experience.
Well, there was, you know, a big lead up to it. When I had the surgery or whatever, I never thought, you know, I'm going to become a runner and do all these amazing things and then run a marathon and then be on a podcast. You know, I never.
This is like your dream.
Well, you were on Diz's podcast. That's a much that's much bigger.
I was on Diz's podcast. Yeah, that was a big honor. Well, I'm honored to be on this podcast too. I mean, I think you need to change your little catchphrase. You have dozens of listeners. I think you might be in the scores of listeners.
I think we might be. We might be in the scores now.
You have at least 40 listeners.
At least.
So when I started the running, when I did that, I think it was the 5K when I broke 30 minutes. That was exactly a year ago. Because that was, they have a 5K on the Saturday and then the marathon on the Sunday. And I saw all the stuff for the marathon. I thought, you know, if I work up to it, I bet I could run a marathon next year if I just start doing longer races and keep running and keep, you know, getting in shape and doing all the right things. I set that as, like, this long-term goal. And they had this deal where if you sign up for the marathon within a week, it was only, like, $75. Because normally it's like over $100.
That's a cheap marathon.
So I signed up, and then I made it my goal. And I had already signed up for a half marathon last October. So I just kept doing 5Ks and 10Ks. And then I did my first half in October. And I had a goal of like 2.5 hours initially also. And then as I kept kind of training, I kept getting faster, and then the course was really perfect for a fast race because it's a net downhill. It's a point-to-point course that goes from the city of San Luis Obispo down to Pismo Beach, so it's about a 400-foot drop overall. I mean, there's a few hills here and there, but so as I was training, I thought, well, maybe I could do like 220. And then I thought, well, maybe 215. But I didn't want to like set too high a goal, right? And then literally the night before, I dreamt I did 210. And then I did 208.40, and that was my first half, and that was in October.
That is smoking fast for a first half marathon. That's just phenomenal.
Amazed. Except for the one that mile that there was a hill, every mile I did under 10 minutes.
Wow.
Well, I was really proud of myself for being really steady throughout the race. And then last month, I did a half marathon on my birthday, and that's the one I did in 202.20.
Wow. So, I mean, you're right there at that magic two-hour mark. You're very, very close.
Right, I just got to shave about 10 seconds off my miles to get to 2 hours.
So you're fast.
Which I'm going to do in October.
All right. I like hearing that goal.
Yeah.
So you're fast, and you're doing well, and you've got this marathon you've signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a ton of support from your friends and your girlfriend, which was so cool to see.
Yeah, I think you saw the pictures of the shirts and stuff. She made like over 20 shirts that I handed out to coworkers and friends. And
you got to have swag.
It was really cool. And the big thing that really helped me was about 3 weeks ago, I made this sort of shift in my head from worrying about the time to enjoying myself. Because initially, you know how they have those pace calculators online? You could like plug in a different race.
Oh, I know.
So I plugged in like my halftime, and they're telling me I could do a 420 to 430 marathon. And I'm thinking, wow, that would be cool to do like 4.5, my first marathon. But then I thought, but if I do that, I can't like take selfies with my friends. I'll set my expectations too high. If I don't hit it, then I'll be kind of mad. So I thought, why don't I just go out really slow, see how it goes, enjoy my friends, you know, give everybody, I mean, I was hugging everybody along the course and high-fiving people. So I was like literally stopping for a few seconds, every person I saw. I mean, I saw like a dozen people and, you know, I just enjoyed the heck out of it. And I ended up doing about 5:25, but it was like the greatest day of my life. I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. I mean, and then you add in like the publicity I got from the newspaper and all that. Like people kind of knew who I was.
And yeah, why don't you tell people where they? That's a cool like article. That. Where could they find that?
Finders, celebrity. So that's on slowtribune.com, or if you go to sanluisobispo.com, it's probably in the archive somewhere. But if you go to the sports section, you could probably find it still. And there's actually a couple articles now. There's one, the original article, like sort of the preview article, the big long one about that sort of tells my whole story. And then there's a follow-up article that he did about how I finished.
How did he find you?
I emailed him.
Oh, cool.
I said, hey, I used to be 400 pounds. I'm about to do the marathon. Are you interested in talking to me? And he's like, yeah.
That's fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because initially I thought, well, I don't want to do that. That sounds like you're bragging or something. But then people were like, why don't you just see what he says? It can hurt.
Who cares if it's bragging?
It's something to brag about.
I mean,
it's something good to brag about.
1% of the population will complete a marathon.
Yeah.
So.
Like less than that, probably.
You know, it's.
1%.
Pretty darn cool.
Yeah. And I'll probably do, you know, I already talked to you about doing Sacramento in December, and I'm pretty confident I'll break 5 hours in that. And then I'll just kind of see how it goes. I mean, I think, like, you know, you guys talked about qualifying for Boston and how daunting a task that is for people like us who are sort of older and fatter. And it's like, it's not easy to just run a 3.5 hour marathon. You know, I mean, I'd have to run 8 minute miles for 26 miles.
Yep.
I could do that for 3 miles. But not.
I can't yet, but it'll happen. So, I mean, I think
a sub 4.5 and a sub 4 could be in my future in a couple years.
Well, I mean, given the speed you're at, I have no doubt that you could break 4.5 in the marathon, maybe even in, by Sacramento. I mean, you're fast. I mean, you had speed in there, even if you weren't a runner when you were younger. It's just been waiting to get unleashed. So it's pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, I do get compliments on my legs. Like, my calves are pretty strong. Like, from people that don't know that I was ever big. Like, they'll just see me walking around in shorts and say, you got big calves.
That's awesome.
You know, another thing I wanted to mention, when you have bariatric surgery, you have a lot of excess skin, too. So I got to deal with that. Like, I got my man boobs. You talked about taping up the nipples.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, that hurts.
Make sure those are taped up, and I got some junk kind of in that midsection area that's kind of hanging around. So I got probably 10 or 15 pounds of just skin that if I ever got that removed, I'd become faster.
Is that not covered by the insurance part? Is that cosmetic?
That's cosmetic, yeah.
Man.
So will that,
you got like 25 grand lying around to loan me.
No, dude, you're going to have to go fund me for that or something.
Yeah, seriously, go fund me page. There you go. Get your own patrons.
Yeah,
I mean, I've read about that issue.
Right. Does it not just like shrink back over time? No.
I've been very lucky. Like, I have like 7 coworkers that have had the surgery to varying degrees of success. And I go to a monthly bariatric support group. And most of them, especially the women, have a lot of hanging skin, especially around their arms. And the legs, like the fat in the legs, doesn't seem to go away. Like that skin, they hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very lucky. I mean, I shouldn't complain about my midsection stuff, but there's a lot of skin issues that, you know, people don't really realize because that skin shrinks a little bit, but you're talking about, I was carrying around 200 extra pounds.
Right.
That skin was banded.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, things that you don't think about at all.
But I've been pretty lucky. Like, I didn't really have any problems with the marathon. I had a little bit of a blister on top of my toe when I got back. And I got a little bit of cramping around mile 19 or 20. But other than that, like, my breathing was awesome. Like, my boss ran with me for a little while, and we were talking. I mean, I was only going 15-minute miles by that time, but, you know, my cardio has improved so much, I don't have to worry about that on these longer races anymore.
Right. No, that's great. Do you want to lose any more weight, or are you comfortable where you're at?
As far as just my health goes and how I look and feel, all my measurables are great. My doctor, you know, I've taken a lot of blood tests over the past few years, and I'm always in the normal range for everything. So I don't really care about the weight as far as my health and how I look. If I want to get faster, I feel like I probably need to lose at least 10 pounds, maybe 20. I really want to get fast.
Well, they say it's about 2 seconds per mile per pound, so that would help.
Right. That would help. Because I'm still lugging around almost 200 pounds. I mean, you're over 200 pounds, right, Pete? I mean, you know how it is.
Just under now. We're
Oh, are you under?
Yeah, I'm about 191, 192 now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I don't carry it well, though. but yeah, so that's very cool.
But you know, if you were thinner, you'd probably be a little faster too.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of, you know, what my next phase is to get back and think about how to lose another 15, 20, 25, maybe even 30 pounds, depending on what I think I can do. But I know I've got another 15 to 20 to lose comfortably. And that's where I'll be calling our friend Peter Belarchek about, you know, a consultation with talking to him to how do I hone in. Yeah, when we had Peter on, you know, I just got to hone it in a little bit. And I purposefully stopped losing weight or stopped concentrating on losing weight and just worried about maintaining it and bounced around a little bit. And now, you know, kind of settled into that. After a race, you're swollen. You get a lot of inflammation. So your weight does go up kind of regardless of what you eat. And I did indulge a little bit, but it'll come right back off because that inflammation goes away within a week. So I'm not really that concerned.
Now, what are your future plans? I don't recall what.
Yeah, I talked about that when we, you know, in the part where we didn't have you on. But I talked to Coach Andy tomorrow, and we're gonna start to hone in on that. So, you know, by next episode, we should have a plan, and I'm gonna go out at least to the end of the year with a plan. Well, let me take that back. As Gretchen told me, I have to listen to the coach. So we'll see what Andy thinks. But I like making plans out so that I kind of know how it's going to fall. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. I'm kind of liking this getting faster thing. So a marathon may be this year, but it may be next year. I really like that half distance, and I really want to get faster. I think I've got 22 minutes, you know, faster in me to get to that under two hour mark. So at least I'd like to give it a go, right?
Yeah, you got it. So when is the Chicago Marathon? Because you're in that area, right?
Yeah. It's in
year is that?
It's in mid-October, basically.
Early October. It's October 8th or something.
Oh,
like
I'm sorry.
That.
Did they move it up?
Yeah, it's usually early October now.
Yeah.
That's a fast course, isn't it?
It is. It's very fast. It's a lottery system now because it's so crowded. So now if you want to run it, you either have to do a lottery or do a charity bib.
My guess is October 7th this year.
Okay, so
that's where my half marathon is.
Yeah, and I'm looking at a half marathon that month, but later in the month. But who knows? I'm just not sure. I mean, Chicago scares me. I've talked about this a little bit, but the bigger marathons scare me because you're out there for a long time before you can even start the race. I mean, I just for Champaign, the half marathon, I was in the corral for half an hour before I could start. And at Chicago, it's going to be an hour, hour and a half probably then. And that's just, it's a long, long time to stand there doing nothing, but standing in a corral.
And taking selfies.
Well, I mean, our scores of fans would probably be flopping to me for that. But overall, I mean, how many times can you get out of the corral and go use the porta potty? I mean, before the race starts. I mean, you got to get moving. So that's the thing about that. So I think I'm probably looking at something a little bit smaller than Chicago for my first one. And then once I get fast enough to be in a corral that's moved forward a little bit, I'm, you know, much more apt to do one of these big city ones.
So do they literally make you not start moving until a certain time, or do they just have estimated finish times and then you're supposed to line up around that flag?
Yeah, no, there's corrals and waves, and you line up according to like whatever one you're assigned to. I mean, people do corral jump, but they're pretty tight about that now. Overall, in Champaign, they were a little less tight about that. And I think in some other races too. Actually, Derek talked about who just ran his first half marathon this last weekend.
Yeah, he did. It's pretty fast.
Yeah, and
I saw that.
Yeah, him and I were very similar times, but he talked about how people were, you know, not in the right corral and how it aggravated him. He related it to the race, which I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet, so maybe he'll just hear it on the podcast, but that's every race, unfortunately. It has nothing to do with them. it's hard to police that before the race. So, I mean, if somebody says they're going to run a 2-hour marathon and they're really going to run three, there's not much you can do about it. So, it happens. So, yeah, you get to dodge some traffic. So, but that's, you know.
I've been pretty lucky. Most of my races have been relatively small. Like, I think there's probably a little over 2,000 people doing. So, they started the half and the full at the same time. So, I parked out towards the back. So, it was only like a minute and a half from the gun until my chip passed.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
So we just kind of shuffled on up there. The funny part about this race is, so it's a out and back, and it loops around in the wine country, and the half marathoners come back after about mile 8, but the marathoners like split off, and there's like 2,000 people doing the half, and there's only like 200 something doing the marathon. So all the marathoners look like they're out like drifting out to sea, because there's just like they're scattered out there, and I literally heard some of the halfers saying, oh, they look so sad out there by themselves.
Well, I mean, wine country, we might be able to do this one if the wineries are open.
Yeah, there was one that was serving wine. I mean, not to the runners, but they had people rooting you on, and they had wine out there.
Yeah, fantastic.
From, like, mile 8, you go out, and then you loop, and you don't come back to like, mile 22. You're on your own out there for, like, 14 miles.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's when, like, your mental toughness really has to come into play, and you really have to kind of dig deep and think about all the hard work you did and all the positive vibes and the people that are supporting you and all those good things.
For sure. Well, you know, and yeah. I think we've taken up a lot of your time tonight, and it's been awesome. Like, I've gotten so much information from you, and I think that we, you know, got a lot of stuff out there, and I really appreciate your time. I know Gretchen does too. I probably should have not speak for her, but you know.
I do appreciate.
No, I love talking to you guys. I love Gretchen's laugh.
I'm glad somebody. I mean, that it is. It's great.
Hey.
So it's awesome. So anything, if people want to connect with you, like on social media, on Twitter.
Yeah. So it's just search for James Latcher or Twitter/James Latcher, JamesLacher. And when I connected with you on Facebook yesterday, that was actually the first time I had been on Facebook in over 5 years.
Wow.
So I took like a Facebook hiatus because I was just kind of sick of all the bickering and the politics and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but then people were like, you need to connect on Facebook because now you have all these fans. Because like one of my friends created a Team James page. So
that's awesome.
I had like 1,500 friends from way back when. So I just restarted that account, and then I started finding new friends like, you know, you guys. And so I've literally been on Facebook about 24 hours. Again. You can find me there. It's the same name, JamesLacher. Just search for that. And, you know, I pretty much accept all friend requests. And
well, now that you're
trying to kind of keep it positive and mostly about running.
There you go. Well, now that you're on back on Facebook, you should come over, check out with Derek and I over at the Sub 30 Club too. That's yeah, I'll invite you. I think you'll enjoy the group. They're a lot of, they're great. So
talking to runners with kind of similar goals and times, so we can kind of bounce ideas off each other and help each other.
Yeah, there's lots of that going on. Definitely. Yeah. So we'll definitely put that invite out there to you, and I'll talk to you a little bit offline,
and
too.
And if you ever meet another runner who had bariatric surgery, send them my way, because I don't know of anybody else, really.
Yeah, right now you're a pool of one for me. So that's awesome. Well, thanks so much again for your time, and we'll wrap up the episode. So we have been listening to episode 33. Of the Fat Man Chronicles. You can find us on social media by looking for Fat Man Stories. The music, if it was here, would be by Safar. He'll be back soon. Oh, yeah, I know. It's okay. Everybody will be fine. If you're listening to us on your favorite podcast app, whether that's Apple Podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, please subscribe and leave us a review. We did get one more 5-star review.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't say any words, but they gave us 5 stars. So
thank
25
you.
5-star reviews.
Nice.
So it's at least a score and a quarter listeners. So, you know, we're doing all right there. So we appreciate it. If you want to become a patron, thank you to our current patrons, Christine and Linda and Julie. You can do that right on Podbean or on the website, fatmanchronicles.com. And then finally, who doesn't love swag? Go find some swag over at Zazzle.com/Fatman Chronicles. That'll do it for tonight. Thanks again to our guest, James Latcher. And everybody get out there and be better today.